doubled Gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free health care for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chechen, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce Silver Eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
A police department is asking the Department of Justice to intervene.
The mayor of Columbus, Ohio, has requested a federal probe into the city's police department. Mayor Andrew Ginther and city attorney Zach Klein sent a letter to the Justice Department asking for an investigation into the practices of the department. Following a series of incidents like the death of 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant and the department's handling of last summer's protests after the death of George Floyd, which drew heavy criticism for the department. In the letter, Ginther and Klein asked the DOJ to engage in a review of Columbus's police operations, identifying any and all racial biases in policing efforts, and coordinate solutions for reform. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Republican governors of Arizona, Oklahoma, Montana, and Idaho all signed pro-life legislation into law this week. The bills included bans on abortion over a diagnosis of genetic abnormalities, as well as heartbeat bills, which ban abortion after a baby's heartbeat can be detected. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wyatt Cox. Each and every day, the USA Radio Network produces 3 hours of the greatest radio programs of all time. Comedies, drama, suspense, it's all there. Classic radio theater. Now, if your radio station doesn't carry the program, you can find them anywhere podcasts are served, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker. Just search for USA Classic Radio Theater. Find it. USA Classic Radio Theater. You'll love it.
Bitcoin has repeatedly broken fresh ground this year, doubling its price of just under $30,000 per Bitcoin at the start of 2021 to almost $65,000 earlier this month. Some cryptocurrency experts are now saying the price of Bitcoin could reach $100,000 per Bitcoin in 2021. If you've ever thought about investing in Bitcoin, Dan Rico is a personal finance expert. He joins Fox News and shares some tips.
Number one, understand what it is, right? Spend a little time, do a little research. It's a complicated thing, but essentially it's an alternative digital asset that lives in an unregulated world in cyberspace. So that's the first thing. So do some homework. Maybe invest a couple of fun money dollars, you know, not your rent money, your fun money. Mm-hmm. And be aware of scammers out there, Ainsley. There's a ton of them out there because they're taking advantage of, you know, that 16-year-old babysitter of yours who's talking to you about crypto. But you really want to make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. Deal with a reputable exchange as well.
A Senate hearing on Thursday is taking a look at the global threats facing the U.S. Rhode Island Democrat Jack Reed noting a diverse array of threats during the coronavirus pandemic. He singled out Russia for criticism, saying the Kremlin is involved in extensive malign activities. Republicans in the hearing citing a variety of growing threats from China, ranging from military buildups to cyber attacks. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. The theme for today's show is it's time to get off the couch and get back to work. And I'll explain what I mean for that and a whole lot more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day.
All right, well, let's get right into the program. And again, thank you for joining me. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the host of Taking Care of Business, and glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time on Thursdays around 1 o'clock to discuss issues that affect businesses, both large and small, here in Hunterdon County and around the country as well. If you're listening now, you're either doing it on your digital player on WHCR-DB. We thank you for that. Or you're logged on to the Hunterdon County Chamber or Hunterdon Chamber Radio website, which, again, we appreciate that as well. Or you're watching us on the live stream on Facebook. And glad you could join us through that medium. So there's a whole lot of ways that you can get the programming here on the station. And we also are always looking for new hosts. So if you have something you feel you always wanted to talk about, or that you're an expert in a certain area and you'd like to have your own show, by all means, contact Chris Phelan here at the Chamber and discuss how you can get on the air as well. Our business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This week, the quote comes to us from that world-famous quotation expert, Anonymous, who said, "If you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else?" If you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else? That's a great quote as it pertains to business, because it really comes down to, do you believe in what you're doing? Do you believe in the product you're selling? Do you believe in the business you're working in? If you're the owner, do you believe in your abilities to own, manage, and run that business? So if you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else? I want you to think about that for a while, and then take an assessment of where you are and whether or not you truly believe in yourself and your abilities. And if you do, then you've answered the question. If there's times when you doubt yourself, and I think there's always a little bit of doubt in business, whether you're an employee, whether you're a manager, whether you're the owner, how do you address that? And how do you make that, if not go away, how do you overcome it? So, you know, take a look at that as it pertains to that quote. If you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else? Speaking of believing in yourself, happy to report that sales of my new book, The Player, are doing quite well on Amazon, on the Kindle format, and particularly in paperback format. We've done several printings now. Just $12.95. It's a great read. A lot of people are saying it's a great summer read. One woman said it was going to be her first beach read, and then on a 50-degree day, she decided, okay, it's beachy enough, I'm going to start reading it. So The Player is selling very well on Amazon in both the Kindle and paperback formats. Yesterday in Bridgewater, there's a monthly newspaper called The Breeze, and it's owned and run by the woman who it does tap into for Flemington and Raritan, New Jersey, Audrey Levine Blumberg. Great article. Really appreciate the time she took to write the article. Sounded like she read the book, because there was things we did not discuss when she interviewed me. But I definitely want to thank her for taking the time and for previewing the book. Got a lot of great comments from people last night, either by email or by text or on Facebook, saying, hey, you know, I read the article, my mother read the article, and people are interested and definitely going to be purchasing the book from that as well. Now, the theme for today's show was, it's time to get off the couch. And I'm going to be upfront and honest, I did not get a chance to watch the president's address to Congress last night. I did, however, tape it, so I'll be watching it tonight. But, as far as being able to comment on anything he said, I couldn't do that for you today. But I think what we have now is a problem where, and it's a problem if you want it to be. And let me explain what I mean by that. What's happening in America now is that people have gotten these, they're on unemployment, they're getting these stimulus checks, and they're getting comfortable. And the problem with that is that people aren't coming back to work. Employers are calling their employees, their former employees, and saying, hey, we're starting up, we'd like to bring you back. And I'm not ready to come back to work yet. Unemployment benefits are going to run out in September. That's going to be the end of it. So what's happening is, as employers are trying to call employees back, if they don't come back, they have to be replaced. And here's where I find that there's going to be a very painful experience come September. And I may be experiencing it with one or two of my own employees. And that is, if I call you up today and I say, I'm ready to bring you back, and you say no, I'm going to find somebody else who wants to work. And I already have a list of three or four people that want to work with me and for me. So I'm going to hire them back. Then in September, when your benefits run out and you call me up and say, I'm ready to come back, I'm sorry, but that position just won't be there. And it's a shame, because, a lot of companies are missing out on already good employees just because they're I don't want to call them fat and happy and lazy, but maybe they're fat, happy, and lazy. It's time to get off the couch and get back to work. And everybody was complaining in the beginning of COVID, oh, I can't believe I'm still sitting at home. They told me it was only going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Well, after 2 or 3 months, the complaints stopped, and here we are 14, 15 months later, and nobody's making that push. Nobody's making that move to get back to work. Perfect example of this is a McDonald's restaurant in Florida. This franchise owner in the Tampa area was paying $50 to people just to show up for a job. $50. So again, the McDonald's franchise owner in Tampa, Florida said he was paying people $50 just to show up for the job interview, not to work, just for the interview. And he's still struggling to find applicants. Blake Casper, the franchisee who owns the McDonald's location, told Business Insider that a general manager and supervisor created a plan for paying would-be employees to show up for the interview after telling them to do whatever you need to do to hire more workers. At this point, if we can't keep our drive-thrus moving, then I'll pay $50 for an interview, said Casper, who owns 60 McDonald's restaurants around Tampa. Twitter users have uploaded photos of signs outside McDonald's locations in the area advertising the move, get $50 for an interview. Casper said that the enhanced federal unemployment benefits that were extended after Congress passed a sweeping pandemic relief bill may be contributing to the lack of people seeking jobs. Speculating further, he said that more businesses at the moment are looking to hire. It's the perfect storm right now, Casper said in an interview published about a week ago. You've got a lot of people with a lot of money, and they're out there shopping, he added. And then on the flip side, we're scrambling for help. Casper said that due to the labor shortage, he and other franchise operators are forced to raise wages for employees. He added that he's considered allowing starting wages from $12 to $13, far above Florida's minimum wage. The biggest challenge out there is the federal government and the state government are going to continue with this unemployment because that is truly creating the incentive to not work right now. Casper added, echoing concerns voiced by GOP lawmakers last year about prior pandemic bills. And how do you blame somebody? You can make more money on unemployment, and so we've got to be at least above that. The National Federation of Independent Business Groups said that the survey found that 42% of small businesses have said that they had job openings that they couldn't fill, also blaming the expanded unemployment benefits for the phenomenon. Owners continue to have difficulty finding qualified workers to fill jobs as they compete with increased unemployment benefits and the pandemic keeping some workers out of the labor force. According to the survey, a net 28% of owners reported raising compensation, which is up 3 points, and the highest level in the past 12 months. It added that a net 17% plan to raise compensation in the next 3 months, which is down 2 points. 7% of owners cited their labor costs as their top business problem, and 24% said that labor quality was their top business problem. Finding eligible workers to fill open positions will become increasingly difficult for small business owners. So it's one of those situations where we've created a problem by trying to fix a problem, you know, by extending unemployment benefits, by giving people the ability to get these stimulus checks. All of a sudden, I don't want to call it flush with cash because you can't survive on unemployment benefits, but they're looking at it and saying, wait, I don't have to go to work. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to get up early. I don't have to bust my butt all day, and I'm still getting paid? That seems like a good deal to me. And so they're opting to stay home. Now, what's happening is other people are benefiting. Those who will work and want to work are going to make more money, even if it's minimum wage. You know, the one store owner saying he's raising wages from $12 to $13, and in other areas they'll probably even have to go higher. Then what happens when the person who had the job wants to come back to their job? It may not be there. And this is what I said at the beginning of the show. As a business owner, my focus is on running my business. And if I have to hire somebody brand new and teach them from day one how to do their job or how to do the other person's job, I will do it. I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm not going to say, oh, it's okay, just take till September. My business has to run now. In my business, and we're 14 months in, my business was down 80% last year. It's starting to pick up. It's starting to get very busy. And what I can see happening is that I can't do it by myself. I've already brought one employee back in this week. I've called another one and told her to come in. I have a nephew on the sidelines who's begging me to come back to work. And then I have another woman who is extremely highly qualified and said she wants to work for me. I'll be going to her. If the other ones don't say they can't work or won't work until September, I'm going to go to the other lady, and I guarantee you she's going to outshine everybody, and she'll have the position that others used to have. So now when September comes and all of a sudden you say it's time to get back to work, there won't be a job there. What happens if all the other jobs have been filled in the interim? Now you're still out of work, but you're not collecting benefits. So that's another problem. How does that translate into the state of New Jersey? Great article yesterday called Losses for Bosses, New Jersey's Great Hiring Dilemma. After speaking at a Burlington Mercer Chamber event at Master's Diner in Bordentown this week, the NJBIA president and CEO Michelle Sikirka took feedback from the president of the restaurant, who offered anyone in the crowd a free dinner if they could get somebody to work for him. With growing stories of workers continuing to live off unemployment checks or stimulus payments, he is far from alone in voicing his frustration. You're coming off the worst year you could possibly have in a business, but you're excited because capacity is increasing gradually and the sky is blue, explained Roger Price, who's the president of Nestoris. The problem is you can't get anybody to work for you because they'd rather sit home and collect a check. My wife and I went out to dinner Saturday night. We ate outdoors. It took repeated attempts to get our drink order. You know, we placed the order, and then 20 minutes later, we still don't have an iced tea. We don't have a seltzer. We don't have our beers. Finally, those come. We get our food order. We finish our meal. This is a meal that should have taken a half hour, 45 minutes, and then we sat and waited 20 minutes for the bill. You know, and that's because they're understaffed. Now, the restaurant says they're open with limited capacity, but I still have people waiting in lines because they don't have enough employees. It's enough with the stipends. You have to get people back to work. New Jersey has distributed $26.9 billion to New Jersey workers since the arrival of the pandemic in early 2020. On Thursday, the New Jersey Division of Labor and Workforce Development announced that the state will no longer be eligible for an extended unemployment benefit program after its unemployment rate dropped below 8%. Take that as key advice. New Jersey will no longer be eligible for an extended unemployment benefit program because our unemployment rate, I think now, is if not 7.2%, it may even be in the high sixes. So we're not going to get any more federal assistance, which means that well is drying up. However, claimants still will be eligible for the Federal Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Fund, which runs through September 4th. This is definitely a tough time for small business employers, particularly in the restaurant industry, Sikirka said. We're hearing more and more about these business owners who are really trying to incentivize people to come back to work, especially as there are more vaccinations and looser restrictions on the horizon. And in raising what they need to pay to compete with what might be a low motivation to work, their profit margins will also take a cut. Sikirka said short-term help might be found in a government grant program that assists small business incentivize workers through higher pay. For example, if a company pays $12 an hour for a worker but now needs to pay $17 an hour to be competitive during a time when unemployment checks are being offered, a government program temporarily paying that added $5 an hour per employee could help, or a tax credit of equal value. The NJBIA has also encouraged the idea of an online portal with the State Department of Labor where employers could report refusals to work as found in other states. For his part, Price has started an employee referral program. He offers a worker $300 if they can bring in another worker. You also pay tons of money on the traditional ways of recruiting people, Price says. I have ads everywhere, but you literally get zero respondents. Mike Giroux, the executive chef and owner of Chef Mike's Atlantic Bar and Grill in South Seaside Park, is also offering finder's fees to his employees while hoping to attract workers who like to work in a beach atmosphere. He offers free food and a post-work cocktail for age-appropriate workers, but he is still having great challenges in finding workers. These people are brutally honest with me, Giroux said. They want you to match whatever they're getting from the government in a cash payment off the books in order to come to work for you. So basically, they want to double dip, steal from the government while the government keeps giving them money. It's crazy. Price and Giroux said workers should realize they will make more while working rather than collecting and not working. What blows my mind is that a place like mine, a server on average could make $25 to $35 an hour, which is not a bad job, Price said. But it just seems like the mentality of people right now is they don't want to work. So here again, we're at that juncture of how what's going to work best. Do we have to pay people more? We're hearing about finder's fees. In the pharmaceutical industry, when we would hire people, you'd have a sign-on bonus. Are we going to have that? And should there be some kind of a contingency, like you have to work for a set period? We don't want to just keep handing out cash, and like Mr. Giroux said, that people are just taking advantage of that system and double-dipping. But maybe say, hey, if you come work for me and you stay 90 days, you'll get this as a bonus. Some people will say, I want it now. Some people are saying, you know, the way people are playing the game is really not beneficial to small businesses. We've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of restaurants go out of business. They're working on ridiculously low margins as it is. And now it's as if they're being hurt twice by the people who would normally be employees. And I don't understand the mentality, and I never have, of I'll just sit on my ass and collect unemployment. That, to me, is just a bad way to operate, you know, because when a crisis occurred, when massive unemployment happens, you want to know that you have something there. And I guarantee you're not making enough on unemployment where you can say, oh, I've got this huge cash pile sitting in the corner, and I don't have to work for two more years or something. There, people are living paycheck to paycheck, and they keep expecting that the government is going to keep bailing them out. At some point, it has to stop. I did a story last week where even though the national debt is advertised at about $22 trillion, the real number is closer to $120 trillion when you factor in all the expenses that the government has. At some point, you have to declare insolvency. You have to figure out a way to pay some of that money back. I believe, and again, I didn't hear the speech last night. I'll watch it tonight. But if President Biden said that he wants to invest $4.1 trillion, where does it come from? He said it will be an increased taxes. To who? It'll be an increased tax to the middle class. It'll be an increased tax to business owners. These are people that are already hurting, and now you're going to tax them again? It simply doesn't work, and it doesn't make any sense. So, again, the mantra for this week, get off the couch and get to work. Call your boss. Tell them you're ready to come back to work. Figure out what you have to do to make that economically feasible for you. But understand, if you don't and your boss replaces you, it's on you. It's not on the boss. You know, there's not, I don't want to say he or she isn't being loyal, but he has to be loyal to himself first. And it doesn't matter whether it's a mom and pop business, whether it's a huge corporation, the work still has to get done. And I'm in that boat, you know, this week. I went from having little to no work to suddenly being bombarded with work, called one of my employees in, and we're trying to get as much done as we possibly can every day, you know, so that our customers remain satisfied and remain our customers. So hopefully that lesson will translate into the person who's sitting at home and not working. So that's my rant for today. It's time to get off the couch and get back to work. And if you know of people who are looking for work, I was wondering whether or not I should even bring this up. I've talked to people who had good jobs. I don't care what the job was. But if you're waiting for your job to come back, why not find something else to do in the interim? And I've told the story before about a gentleman. He was a PhD working in the pharmaceutical industry, got laid off, had a severance package, was working, had that severance package, which we figured out, we calculated based on his bills, would last him about a year. And he goes, you know, I don't want to just sit on the couch and wait, you know, find me a job right away, which we tried to do, but he was very highly specialized. And he goes, I really hate the fact that my kids see me in the morning in my pajamas, you know, while they're going off to school. I said, well, go get a job. And he goes, what? I said, go get it anywhere. Pump gas. Go work at Home Depot. Go work at Target or Walmart. I don't care where. Just so they see you doing something. You're getting dressed in the morning. You're going to work. That's all. They don't care where you work. They don't care what you do. They just want to see dad's working. So he ended up getting a job at a Target. And at first it was, you know, simple little stuff, stocking shelves, you know, folding clothes, stuff like that. Over the course of 6 months, he actually worked himself into a management position because they realized just how smart this gentleman was. And I kept I would call him and say, hey, I have this company. They're looking for this, this, this. And he goes, you know what? This time isn't right. Time isn't right. And finally he called me after we calculated that the year of severance would run out. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. He goes, I love it here so much. I'm not going back to the pharmaceutical industry. My team needs me. My company needs me. My fellow employees need me. I feel like I have a worth here. If you're sitting at home, and I've always said this before, if I lost everything tomorrow or today, I'd be working tomorrow. I'd be at Home Depot. I'd be driving a forklift. I'd be stocking shelves. I'd be pumping gas. I'd work in a grocery store. I don't care where I was. I would be working. That's my mentality. That's not everybody's mentality, but that would be my mentality. I'm not going to sit at home and wait for opportunities to come to me. I'm going to go make my opportunities. Long time ago, you can check it out in the archives. I had a story about, and I wrote on it on LinkedIn, to create your own economy. That's what you have to do. If opportunities aren't coming to you, you go create opportunities. I talked about this earlier. My book, The Player, was written probably 8 or 9 years ago. It sat on the shelf. I really enjoyed the book, but life got in the way. I couldn't get, you know, work on getting it published and things like that. I didn't have the time to finish everything. And had it not been for a friend of mine in September pestering me and saying, you know, you got to get that book out, I was like, you know what, you're right. And I had the time, so I did it. Now I'm selling books. I'm making royalties. I'm loving life. People are really giving me great feedback. It's motivating me to start or finish my next two books. You know, I'm creating my own economy. Dave Gambrell is a person who has created his own economy. If you follow him on Facebook with his digital marketing, he's not waiting for it to come to him. He's going out and grabbing it. That's what you need to do in order to be successful in this world. And, you know, how do you word this? It's not that I don't feel bad for people who are struggling, but I do feel bad for people who are struggling and won't do anything about it. If you want to play why me, poor me, and bitch and moan all day, that's on you. If you want to take the action that's going to create new opportunities for you, could you leave your industry and work in another industry? I've worked in four. Started out in insurance. Went to do turnarounds, working in three different lumber yards. Became a pharmaceutical recruiter in the pharmaceutical industry. Now I own my own business. Four totally different. And so I had to learn four different industries, but I did it. And I was successful at every one that I did. That's not to pat myself on the back, but it is to show you it can be done. So sometimes, regardless of how comfortable you are in your chosen field of endeavor, if you have to switch and leave that area, you can always come back to it. If you have to leave in order to go grab a paycheck somewhere else, do it. You know, absolutely do it. And I don't understand the mentality of people who will, and I've seen people who have literally done nothing for 2 or 3 or 4 years. And they whine and say, well, you know, my job is so specific and I can't find anybody who needs it. Nope, that's not the answer I want to hear. What are you going to do about it? I don't care if you have to go learn how to drive a tractor trailer. Do that. Plenty of opportunity in that industry, but you're bringing home a paycheck and a good one at that. So that's the rant for the day. Hopefully it'll motivate some of you who are on the couch to get off that couch and get back to work. And for those of you who have decided that it's time to start looking, don't wait too long, because sooner or later those positions are going to start getting filled. And we're already seeing unemployment numbers come down as those positions get filled. When certain people start deciding it, hey, it's time to get off the couch and get to work, it's going to be too late. There won't be the positions there that they need. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why success only comes to those who work for it. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
5 people are dead following a 13-hour police standoff in Boone, North Carolina. Watauga County authorities saying 2 deputies died in the shooting in a day-long standoff that carried into the night. Sheriff Len Hageman confirmed the suspect and their mother and stepfather have also died. The suspects' names have not yet been released. The Bidens are headed to Georgia to mark the president's first 100 days in office. The president and First Lady Jill Biden will visit with former President Jimmy Carter and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter in Plains. They will then host one of Biden's patented car rallies in Duluth this evening. Biden making the trip to the state after Major League Baseball pulled the menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars may soon be a thing of the past. The FDA looking to ban the products in an effort aimed at preventing youth from smoking and to save lives. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. You're listening on either WHCRDB, watching the live stream on Facebook, or listening to the broadcast on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Again, glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about issues affecting business. If you have an issue that is affecting your business and you want me to discuss it here on the program, by all means, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Tell me what the problem is and what you'd like to have me talk about, and I'd be glad to do the research and then bring it up to an upcoming show. If you have any questions, you can also email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, and I'll try to answer them here on the air. Before the break, I mentioned that it was going to talk about success and how it only comes to those who work for it. What's left out of that statement is, in parentheses, the right way. Now, success doesn't come for those who wait. And it doesn't always come to those who work for it, because not all work is work towards progress. I've seen numerous people over the years who work their fingers to the bone and still end up in a bad financial situation. That's why it's important to work towards success the right way, to work towards progress and not to maintain. You always look higher than where you're at. So here's a short list of quick tips that will help you prioritize the kind of work that you put in. First of all, you have to show up no matter what. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. You want to make decisions quickly. Time is money, and money loves speed. Nothing could be more important than being able to make a decision, analyze a situation, make a decision, and implement it, than watching a good idea die a slow, painful death by committee. So make decisions quickly. Promote your successes. If you're capable of something, let them know it. Give more than you take. You can't feed somebody from an empty hand. People always ask me, like, there's times when I'll give out business advice that people use, and they say, man, you should have charged him for that. That's golden. You know, you could get $3,000 or $4,000 for that idea, or he's going to make X amount of dollars based on that idea. Sometimes I think it's more important just to give it out and let them run with it. Never quit, no matter what. You will never fail until you give up. My father always taught me and my sisters that we never quit. We're not quitters. You may not play in every game, but you will not quit that team because that means you're letting your teammates down. And he always said, if somebody's better than you, like in football, you have a depth chart. So we had receivers 1 through 8. Some days I was the number one receiver. Some days I was number 3. Some days I was having a bad day, I might be number 8. And that's when he would tell me, don't quit. Work yourself back up to number 1. You have to make closed deals a priority. Negotiations are a waste of time if they don't end up with a deal. This is that old always be closing mentality. That's what you're looking to do. Close the deal. We can negotiate back and forth. We can send letters back and forth, emails back and forth. Close the deal. It's better to be doing something than nothing. Small movements will get you further than just standing still. I love that one because so many times people will tell me about a project they're working on and there's so many things to do. And they know it's going to take months or a few weeks. There's so many things to do in such a tight timeline, they have no idea where to start. And that's why I tell them, bite-sized chunks. Just take a little action. You know, I have a big project going on right now. Last night, as I laid in bed, I was trying to analyze how am I going to get all of this work done in the time frame that I have. So I have to engrave 49 plates. I have to cut them, trim them, mount them to a backer plate. And I was like, how is this going to get done? I'm calculating how much time it's going to take. And I realized the first step I was going to do was I was going to cut all the backer plates and tape them. That way, half the job's out of the way. Then I'll go in and I'll start engraving the main plates that'll be mounted to them. Once they're cut and trimmed, I can start mounting them to the backer plates and then call the client and say everything is ready. But I had to break it down in my head to small bite-sized chunks. And any project that you do typically can be broken down into small bite-sized chunks. If you look at NASA and SpaceX, they don't just build a rocket and send it up into the atmosphere. Think of how many pieces go into that rocket. Somebody had to figure that out. This is the rocket. Now, what are all the little pieces that have to go into that? How are we going to do the assembly and sub-assembly? You want to commit first and figure the rest out later. Get moving and then correct your course once you're on your way. So get the deal, get the job, get the contract, and then figure out how you're going to do it. And that was great advice I received from our founder at Crown. He always tells all the store owners, he goes, if somebody asks you if you can do something, say yes, and we'll figure it out later because we have 150 stores. There's a good chance one of those stores has done it, and if not, then we'll find the right people who can help us get it done. And it's worked time after time after time. Only take advice. This is a good one. Only take advice from super successful people. You know, a poor person shouldn't be telling you how to be rich. My grandfather had a sign that said, and it hung at his lake house. I think I still have the sign, but it said, it was hand painted and it said, if you're so damn smart, why ain't you rich? That's it, you know, in a nutshell. If you follow self-help people, if you've listened to this show, you know that I always tell you, hang out, not so much with the cool kids, but hang out with the successful guys. You know, when I went to different meetings in different industries, I wasn't hanging out with the people that I worked with because I knew their success level and it wasn't where I wanted to be. We were all middle of the road. But when I saw a superstar, that's the guy I'm going to. Can I buy you a drink? Can I buy you dinner? Can I pick your brain? And then there's a chapter in my upcoming book, The Action Plan, that talks about this, where a kid who was probably 15 years my junior was just absolutely killing it in our industry. And I went up to him after he gave a presentation and I said, I want to take you to dinner. I want to ask you a million questions. And, you know, if you'll let me do that, I'll appreciate it. So we went out to dinner. Just us. Anybody sitting at the tables next to us would have thought I was working for 60 minutes because I kept grilling and asking and diving deeper and deeper into this gentleman's success. By the time I walked away, I knew more than just based on the presentation that his presentation was brilliant, but I knew even more by having that dinner. It was probably the best money I ever spent on a meal by being able to get advice from someone who was super successful. And in turn, it made me successful. You have to demand more from yourself than from anyone else. You know, the only person who can know what you want and where you want to be is you. I talk about this with a lot of business owners who will complain that, you know, I've hired this person. They're very nice. They're very good, but they just don't get it. In your business, there's only one person who's going to work the hardest, and that's you. And we all have this dream of, hey, I'm the boss. I shouldn't have to work. So, unless they're signing the paychecks, nobody has as much of a vested interest in your business as you do. They have an interest in 9 to 5 and every 2 weeks collecting a paycheck. And there is nothing that you can do that will change that mentality in people. unless they end up with your same last name. If they're married to you, if they're your children, nobody will work as hard as you do. And you have to be ready for that come day one. And you can't get frustrated by it. You have to understand, what are their limits? How hard can I push them to get to those limits? And maybe someday they'll surprise me and go above and beyond. And if not, I know that this is as much as I get. Now, how do I get the most out of them? Nobody else can force you to put in the work or motivate you to get it done. Once you know what you're working toward, the only thing stopping you from reaching that destination is you. So keep working hard. You know, obviously I want you to all be successful, but understand it really, the success of any individual, the success of any organization starts with you. You know, if you want to be the best salesperson, you want to be the best manager, you want to be the best account executive, administrative assistant, it starts with you. It's not, nobody's going to do it for you. So get out there and start working, you know, toward that end. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We've been talking a lot about employment today on the program, the need to get off the couch and get to work, why so many businesses are finding that employees don't want to return to work, which is typically because they're making more money on unemployment. But for those of you that are looking to get back into the workforce, and there's one other topic that I want to touch on, and I have to do more research on it, but for those companies that have remote workers right now and have for the last 14 months, you have to engage with those workers. I heard a couple of stories over the last 2 weeks. My wife told me one where a lady that she helped train has suddenly left the company. And she's only been with the company for about a year. I remember when she was excited that she was hired. The problem is with remote work, you don't have that daily interaction, that camaraderie. This poor girl had no idea what any of the people that she worked with looked like because they would all have that black screen when they did a Zoom meeting, including my wife. You have to get these people engaged. So whether you're going to do a FaceTime, whether you're going to do a Zoom meeting and tell everybody, hey, camera's on, you know, we got to see what you're doing. We want to introduce you to this person. They have to know who they're talking to. So before we get into the next topic, I wanted to make sure that if you've hired somebody during the pandemic or just shortly before, you have to keep them engaged somehow. And I don't care if you do like Zoom trivia or what. Keep these people engaged. Keep them motivated until you can get them into the office and they can start working day by day, shoulder to shoulder with other employees. Now, according to Monster.com, here are the top skills you need to highlight if you want to get hired this year. Job seekers in 2021 have reason to be optimistic. While the economy and the job market continue a tenuous comeback from COVID, more than 80% of hiring managers say they're planning to hire this year, according to a recent survey by the job website Monster.com. There is, however, a catch. The so-called skills gap continues to be a sticking point for employers looking to expand their workforce. That gap refers to the perceived discrepancy between the skills that employers are looking for and those that applicants actually have. 4 in 10 of the hiring managers Monster surveyed said they anticipate that finding candidates with the correct skills will be a challenge this year, and 1/3 said that the skills gap is worse now than it was a year ago before the pandemic. More from Grow. There's the average credit score in every U.S. state is declining, so now people have to raise their credit score. How do you do that? You pay your bills. How do you do that? You get a job. It's affecting whether or not you're employable. So make sure that you have a good credit rating, and employers are looking. So here's how to make sure you're making yourself an attractive candidate by highlighting the right skills in the job application process. The first step is to focus on your transferable skills. We've heard this term a lot. Let's dive a little deeper to figure out what that means. Some of what appears to be the skills gap may actually be miscommunication, says Vicky Salimi, who's a career expert at Monster. One of the most common concerns among recruiters is that job seekers aren't communicating effectively about how their past experience relates to the job at hand, she says. Luckily, that problem can be easily fixed. So first, you have to carefully read the job posting and retool the way you talk about your job history in your application materials and interviews, Salimi explains. Applicants should focus on their transferable skills such as customer service, she says, which is necessary across many sectors. I had a lady who went on a Zoom interview, and she said it was so hard because all she sees is the person in the box. And I said, you know, there's an old example of when I first started in radio, I was very stiff, very robotic, and my broadcasting professor in college called me out on it. He actually told me after 2 weeks on the air, he said, you need to find a new major. He said, what is your problem? And I said, I'm just scared. I'm nervous. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know whether they like me or not. And at the time, the Eagles band had a album out, and there was a poster inside the album, full-size poster, of them performing at the Hollywood Bowl. And he took that out of the album, and he taped it up on the window in front of the microphone at the radio station, and he said, every time you turn on that microphone, you're talking to them. And now I had an audience. In radio, I didn't have it. And it's a similar thing on these Zoom meetings. You don't really have an audience. Miscommunication. Because we're not reading body language very well on these Zoom meetings, is probably getting lost. So you want to talk about your experience, your transferable skills, because you have no idea. There could be something in your past that, although it doesn't show up in a written job description, could be the most important thing that the company is looking for. So make sure that you treat that little viewfinder as if it's a person. And if you had to tape a picture of somebody behind it so that it looked like you were talking to somebody, do that. Keep a list of examples from your working life that can be applied broadly on a phone call with a recruiter or in an interview. Sometimes even slightly tweaking your resume can do the trick, providing that you do not lie. They can always change the order of the bullets in which they appear and highlight their customer service skills, for instance, she suggests. Just remember, don't get carried away. The resume should always be factual and accurate. Soft skills will always be important. If you're making a list of transferable skills that you can use to market yourself, don't forget to showcase your so-called soft skills, like your ability to communicate with teammates, your knack for solving problems, and even your basic manners. A particular instance from Salimi's time as a recruiter stands out. A candidate she interviewed was rude to the receptionist. She remembers, and Salimi warned the hiring manager, I don't think this is going to work out. You might want to rethink it. Despite Salimi's advice, the hiring manager gave the candidate the job, and within three months, we had to put her on a performance improvement plan and then fire her. Your ability to play well with others is a huge value to your future employer, and you should capitalize on it. Even now, when interviews are being held virtually and thank you notes are emailed, soft skills will always be important. You want to also invest in new technical skills. There's another concrete way to close a skills gap. Take steps, both big and small, to further your education. You may not even have to go back to school to do it. She says, I'm big into online certifications because sometimes they cover the road a little faster than traditional degrees. Anita Canty, who's a career coach and founder of Anita K Solutions, recently told Grow. Highlight the skills you're learning to optimize your online profile and resume. That will show that you're taking the initiative to get the inroad to where you want to go professionally. Conti recommends the following resources to her clients. Udemy, which is Udemy. This website boasts more than 100,000 online video courses covering a broad range of topics like accounting, business law, computer programming, and even dog training. LinkedIn Learning, formerly Lynda. There are more than 16,000 courses ranging from topics like leadership, project management, and design on the hub. For example, there are nearly 1,000 courses on 3D animation alone. And universities. You can take courses alongside other students online or through professional development workshops. For other in-demand skills, there are plenty of low-cost or even no-cost online resources, including Free Code Camp for web development, Moz Beginner's Guide to SEO for marketing, Skillshare for design work, and Duolingo for foreign languages. You don't regret investing in yourself, Shark Tank investor Barbara Corcoran told Grow. If you can figure out what your sweet spot is and bet on yourself, that's how you make a fortune, she says. You chunk down your money on yourself. There's a number of different online courses, master classes, things like that will help you grow. And it's a good idea, once you complete them, to even include them in your resume, you know, if it's on customer service or something like that. In the insurance industry, for instance, through the Insurance Institute of America, there are a number of degree programs like Charter Property Casualty Underwriter, Associate in Management, Associate in Claims, that it may take a semester, it may take just a few weeks. When I took courses through the Insurance Institute, I would go to Seton Hall to take them and sit in a classroom. That's how I learned best. And that may be what you need to do, because if you can go into an employer and he has two applicants and they both come, they're the same age, they're both male or they're both female, but one has two or three different certificate programs and in the initials after their name, that's the person who's more hireable. The key in that one story, when they talked about the woman who was rude to the receptionist, I always tell people, the interview starts about a block away from the parking lot. And I've talked to hiring managers who say that when they know someone's coming for a 10 o'clock interview, they're actually at their window looking at the parking lot. They watch the car pull in. They watch them, you know, get out of their car. And so the camera is on. And it, I always reference the title of Dan Rather's book, The Camera Never Blinks. The camera is on. Somebody's watching you from the time you get in the parking lot till the time you leave. Are you the type of person who shows up not prepared? And by that, for gentlemen, let's say you don't tie your tie until you're in the parking lot. Or you're smoking a cigarette, you get out of the car, you throw it on the ground, and you stamp it out. Well, that shows a lack of respect for the company's property. IBM used to have a thing where they would take you to lunch. It was mandatory that you had to go to lunch. And whoever was seated with you would watch your first moves. And if you salted your food before you even tasted it, that meant you were too rigid. You couldn't be flexible in your decision-making process. That would be a knockout factor. So, again, the interview starts a block away from the parking lot, and it ends a block or two after you've left. I tell people when you leave, you thank the receptionist, you thank all of the hiring managers, everybody you come in contact with, you thank them. If you're in the elevator with somebody, you may want to say to them, hey, I just interviewed for a position with this department. You know, how do you like the company? You know, you have four or five floors. Take advantage. You know, I'm really excited about this opportunity. Let them know, because there's a good chance that person was either got on that elevator to follow you, or they would go back and say, you know what, I just met a gentleman in the elevator. He was really excited about the opportunity. All of this helps you. So as you're walking back to your car, you're not loosening your tie. You're not taking off the jacket. You're getting in your car. You're driving away. Two blocks away, if you want to stop at a Dunkin' Donuts and take off the jacket and all that, have at it. While you're on the property, the interview starts when you make your way into the property. So that's my advice, you know, for how to nail that interview. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to identify business opportunities. Now, a lot of people have commented that they've read the article that was written about me and John Bradshaw, because it's weird because it made me look really good. It made John look good as well, but it made me, I think, look a lot better, and I didn't mean for that to happen. But you have to look at opportunities anywhere. So I own a trophy store. We do engraving. John came to me, had a fire in his business, and said, hey, if you can do the engraving, since my five machines were all melted, I'll assemble the jobs and get them to my clients. So we said, fine. We've done over 100 different jobs for him already since we partnered up. And we got good press in the Trenton Times, the Star Ledger, things like that, NJ.com. But it wasn't to boast that I'm a wonderful guy. I just couldn't see, you know, this poor guy after living through a pandemic now having to shutter his business simply because, you know, of an unfortunate accident. So there was a business opportunity there. I would be able to bill him for the jobs I engrave. He would be able to continue his relationship with his customers. I took advantage of a business opportunity. There's even as something as, and I don't want to call it morbid, but, you know, we do engraving. And people, very often, they have a pet or a loved one that dies and they get an urn. And then there's no marking to signify what's in the urn. And so by offering engraved plates that will say the person's name or the animal's name and their birth date, death date, it's a way to do it. When I created my sign shop, you know, it was a way to cross-sell a service to my existing, you know, clients. So, again, taking advantage of new business opportunities is huge. co-partner, co-promote with other businesses is huge, and especially in this day and age. We all have to help each other. And I said that in the article that appeared in the Star Ledger, that businesses in this time frame should be looking to work together, co-promote, co-produce, and co-partner. And I actually got a call from a gentleman in Washington, D.C. who read the article and said, man, I love that. He goes, I wish more businesses would work like you do. And he goes, could you imagine what we could do if we all worked together? That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, there are opportunities out there. You have to be a little flexible, and you have to be a little open-minded. And it may not seem like all of us, like you can work with a particular company, and then they'll ask you to do something. You're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. I have one company that manufactures custom machines, and they're doing all the tooling, all the machining, and all of that. There's one thing they need, and it's a little white disc, 1 inch around, with their logo on it. Well, guess who can make that? Me. So I'm now the guy who makes that little logo piece for them. We do about 50 at a time, and then every machine gets this little piece out there. Same example I gave you earlier, you know, when I talked about NASA. You know, we see the rocket go up in the air, but how many millions of different pieces go into that rocket? Be one of those people and find opportunities. So next week, we'll talk about how to identify new business opportunities on the program. And in the meantime, your homework would be look at your industry, look in your community, and are there other businesses that might need your help? If you're a sign shop, does a dress shop need signs? Sale today, 20% off. Couldn't you be that person to provide that signage for them? You know, gas stations, if you see, you know, are you approaching the local police department, fire department, saying that you want to be their purveyor of gasoline and you'll give them a discount of 5 cents a gallon or something like that? That might save the town a ton of money over the course of a year. So opportunities are everywhere. Now you have to go out and actually find them and how they will benefit you and them. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses and how to order autographed copies of my book, visit my website, www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is celebrating his 100th day in office with a stop down in Georgia. The president and first lady heading to Georgia to sell his next economic recovery plan.
100% I'm thinking about running.
President Trump's comments on Fox Business regarding a 2024 run. The former president continues.
We will, I think, be very successful. If we were very successful, look, I ran twice. And the second time I got 12 million more votes than the first time, which very rarely happens for a president. I got the largest number of votes in the history of our country for a sitting president. And I was told if I got 66 million, you couldn't lose. I got 75 million.
Trump also floating Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida as a possible running mate. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's great cities are in deep trouble. Businesses are closing, taxpayers fleeing, and police are defunded as crime and homelessness rise. It's a dangerous time in big cities like New York, L.A., Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, and more. All this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax TV, exposing the real truth in his series, Cities on Fire. Every night, Rob Schmidt gives you the real news you won't hear anywhere else. So watch Rob Schmidt tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and see his Cities on Fire special. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Plus, get Newsmax free on most smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, and LG. Or tune in on Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. And millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. So start watching America's fastest growing cable news channel. Because Newsmax is real news for real people.
There's a push to move sexual assault cases in the military from commanding officers to independent authorities. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says there's an epidemic of cases in the ranks and that something needs to be done to stop it.
The most recent Pentagon survey found that 2 in 3 survivors reported retaliation because they reported a crime against themselves.
The New York Democrat saying a recent report shows around 21,000 service members were assaulted in 2018. The 2021 NFL draft kicks off tonight in Cleveland. League Commissioner Roger Goodell talks about bringing fans back with ABC's Good Morning America.
You know, the thing we miss.